Father, we are grateful this morning. We are so grateful because we know it's not everywhere that you choose to visit. And so we thank you again because you're here in our midst, visiting with us again. We acknowledge you in the midst and we come to say thank you for everything you are to us. Lord, come and reign in our midst. Come and reign in our hearts and in our lives. And let your kingdom come and your dominion be made manifest in us and through us today. We come, Lord God, acutely aware of our limitations in and of ourselves to bring this word as well as to receive it. In particular, I come in full cognizance of, Lord, my human limitations of the human mind. Lord, both to deliver this word as well as those who will receive it. And I beseech you for fresh mercy. I ask that you pour out abundant mercies upon me so that, Lord God, I will use, Lord, your mercy. I will use your grace and help to, Lord, bring forth this word, Lord, in accuracy and power, in clarity, in simplicity, in the love and the comfort of your spirit. As I speak by your mercies, Lord God, you make my tongue a pen of a ready writer. So this word will go forth in power, cause that wherever it goes in all the earth, your power will back it, causing men not to be hearers only, but to be doers of the same and be blessed in their doings in Jesus' name. I further ask that you help me to be concise, so I'll be precise. I will not say anything unnecessary. I will bring forth from out of the treasure of your word things both old and new, even as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. As I speak, your power and your presence will fill the air, breaking every yoke and meeting every need, causing our minds to be more enlightened by the revelation knowledge of this word. Lord, our wills to be more humble, submitted to your will, O God, and also causing, Lord God, the precious fruit of love to temper and to control our emotions even more by the power of your spirit in the name of Jesus. Father, I also duck under the anointing of my fathers in the house. I ask for mercy to be a faithful steward. As I bring forth this word, I would do so in accuracy, in power, in simplicity, yet in the comfort and the love of the Holy Spirit. It will go forth, Lord, as a river of refreshing, ministering unto all, myself included, but especially to them that as they drink and eat of this vine they have planted, we ask, Lord God, that, Lord, you will cause them to trust, abundantly satisfied with the travail of their souls in me. I thank you, Lord, because you are faithful. You will not lie to David. And you will do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask, all we can imagine, because you are faithful who has promised. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray and we receive. And the people say, amen. Praise the Lord, somebody. In the book of Acts, which is a very important book, particularly in this season, we're about to enter into. We're actually in, but we're waiting for the manifestation of the glory in this season of the outpouring of the fullness of the Spirit without measure. And why we're studying the book of Acts and why it's so relevant is because it gives us a clue, it gives us a hint, it gives us a foretaste of what to expect in this latter glory of the latter house as we receive the fullness of the Spirit without measure. We saw and are seeing and are studying what happened when the glory of the Spirit with measure, but the anointing upon the apostles was not the Spirit with measure, but it was the borrowed anointing that was on the Lord Jesus Christ, which he left behind when he ascended to heaven. And that was what was on the apostles. That's why they were able to do all the miracles and mighty things and deeds we see in the book of Acts. Amen. They were not using the Spirit without measure. Amen. That's pretty obvious. Amen. But the essence is that we study the book so we can have an idea of what's coming. And we can align our own faith with what God is about to do. As we see what the apostles did, we can see what we are going to do. And even greater, the Bible says. Amen. For this is the glory of the latter house. And so, in our last study, we looked in detail at, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that led to one of the deacons that was chosen by the early church, a man by the name of Stephen, who was chosen as one of the first deacons of the early church, how he was arrested by the Sanhedrin, and how this man who the Holy Spirit says was a man full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith, full of power, full of wisdom, really an exemplary disciple, came to the point where he was arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin. We saw Stephen was doing miracles among the people. He keyed into the faith, that was the anointing that was upon the apostles by faith. Most of the others, in fact all the others, the Bible says none durst join themselves to them. Amen. But Stephen wasn't like that. He keyed in by faith and he was doing miracles among the people. And because of that, we said he became a target. Amen. We're going to see some things like that in this, our own dispensation too. Some people are just going to key in And the people that you don't know anything about will start doing miracles, like that guy was in Luke 9. But anyway, this makes Stephen a target for Satan, and Satan now begins to stop him, trying to stop him. Why? Because if he continues, maybe other disciples will join. So he wants to stop Stephen in his tracks even before he can, you know, multiply, so to speak, before other people can take his example and begin to follow after. Amen? And so we saw that he now raised up these people to have an argument with him. And that was the problem. We saw they had a debate. The Bible says they debated and they disputed with Stephen. Amen? And the NIV actually says they actually argued with Stephen. And we said this was the mistake that Stephen made. Amen? And folks, opposition came from people who were Jews like him. We brought that out the last time. And we said that it's going to happen here too in our own dispensation. The Bible says that they of their household shall be their enemies. And thank God, Pastor has been teaching us how to take care and to make sure that all of our households are under the control of the Holy Spirit. That they are, you know, that teaching us how to pray for those in our house, in our sphere of influence, so we don't leave loopholes for the enemy to exploit. But anyway, this is what happened to Stephen. The devil raised up opposition from the Jews, from the people who are Jews like him, and they began to debate with him and to argue. And of course, it must have been a very heated debate. When you debate, you don't debate nicely. You're trying to prove your own point. They're trying to prove their own point. And so, after these ones lost the debate, they now went to find people, and the Bible says they suborned them. That's old English. The truth is that they bribed them to come and give false witness before the Sanhedrin against Stephen, saying that he blasphemed against Moses, blasphemed against the temple, blasphemed against God. All these things, they told lies against him. And so much so, that not only did the Sanhedrin believe, the people believed, they now sent people to come to arrest Stephen and bring him before the council. And we said it's very important for us to learn this lesson. The point was that even though Stephen won the argument, yes, he won the argument, because he was speaking by the Spirit, so the other people couldn't, you know, contest. Even though he won the argument, he left the door open. I'm sure when he was debating, he had no clue, he had no idea that these people were going to get him arrested because of the argument. Amen? And we said the servant Lord must not strive. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 20, he said, but we must be gentle to all, apt to teach, patient. Amen? We're not to allow the door open. Because once you open that door, strife is the devil's playground. Amen? We saw that in James chapter 3. You know that once you allow strife, and that's where the devil says that every evil work, where there's striving and debate, there's every evil work. Amen? And so we saw Stephen open the door to the devil, and the devil now take advantage of it and use that as a means to bring him before the Sanhedrin. And as we read on, you see that it was really a critical issue. Because eventually, we're going to get there later, but I'm going to hear myself. Eventually, Stephen was actually killed. Was actually martyred. What happened? He opened the door to the devil. And, you know, with all the accolades given him, that's something that, you know, used to puzzle, but, you know, God gave me an answer. He said, there must have been an element of pride in it. Because that was only by pride cometh contention. You cannot contend with yourself. Somebody has to contend with you for you both to be in a debate. If Stephen had just backed off and said nothing, he probably would have lived to fulfill more of his destiny on the earth. Anyway, but the essence is, we must learn from Stephen's experience, never allow ourselves to be drawn into debate, to be drawn into strife, no matter what, there's no point. Just speak the word and move on. The Bible says, you know, if you see somebody who doesn't have the words of knowledge, then leave him alone, just go away. Go and do your own thing. But anyway, so it happened that Stephen was arrested and brought before the Sanhedrin. And so we're going to today continue and see how the Lord helped him to defend himself. It was a beautiful defense. Wonderful sermon. Amen. But eventually, he was martyred. That will not be our portion in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's read. Let's start now. We're going to start from chapter 7, verse 1. This is the defense of Stephen before the high priest. We'll read together. Are we all ready? All right, are we ready? Then said the high priest, are these things so? So he's now given, he's been given the floor. And this is what Stephen said. He says, and he said, men, brethren, and fathers, very respectful, hearken. Now begins to give a story in the sermon. The glory of God appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he dwelt in Haran. And said unto him, get thee out of thy country. We're not reading home. I can't hear anybody. I'm the only one that hears my voice. And he said to him, get thee out out of thy country and from thy kindred and come into the land which I shall show thee. He didn't know where he was going. Then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran, and from thence, when his father was dead, he removed him into this land wherein you now dwell. Speaking to the fathers. Next verse. And he gave him none inheritance in it. No, not so much as to set his foot on. Yet he promised that he would give it to him for a possession. That sounds like a paradox, but it's not. And to his seed after him, when as yet he had no child. So he was around walking up and down this land. God said, I'm not giving it to you now. When you have a child, I'll give it to you. That's why I see it. But it's not a paradox. Amen. Next verse. And God spake on this wise. Oh, that's so much here. That his seed should sojourn in a strange land. And that they should bring them into bondage and entreat them with evil 400 years. Next verse. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that, they shall come forth and serve me in this place. Next verse. We'll stop here. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the 8th day. And Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. Amen. Give the Lord a clap of him. Amen. All this to say that this is the beginning. This is how he was telling them, this is your history. Amen. Now the overview, we're going to do a little bit of an overview first of all. The overview of this is that, well, first of all, let's look at this. When they were preaching this thing, you know, he said a lot of things. We're going to read the whole chapter. And I'm amazed that God gave so much time and so much space in the scripture to this one particular sermon. It means that God absolutely agreed with whatever he said. Everything he said was by the Spirit. If at the end we see, he says he sees, he was looking to heaven and saw God standing up and giving him a standing ovation. Amen. How many of us has God given a standing ovation like that? Amen. But what we saw is that this sermon made them exceedingly angry. How in the world can a sermon make you so angry to go and kill somebody? That's the devil. That is the devil 100,000%. Just by speaking words. And they weren't grievous words. They were just, the problem was he was telling them their history. You know, sometimes when God digs up your history, you don't want to hear it, you don't want to see it, you don't want to know it. But God uses it, he does it. And he did this in this case. Amen? So, but the only reason why you'd be angry at something like that is if you're not doing it and the history is true. That word, Bible says, it cut them to the heart. How can you be angry for preaching the sermon? Hello? How many remember the Lord Jesus too in Nazareth? Exactly the same thing. He got the book of Isaiah and he read from Isaiah 61 and says, this day this word is fulfilled in your ear. And Bible says they were full of wrath. That's demonic. You're full of wrath. The word of God is being preached and it brings wrath. But the difference between, you know, they wanted to kill Jesus too. But there was a big difference. That's what I want to highlight. There was a big difference. The Bible said the Lord Jesus, they brought him out, they rushed him. Can you imagine from church to murder? They brought him out and they took him to the brother. They wanted to throw him down, kill him. Away with this pestilent fellow, like they said to Paul. Those Jews, they have serious problems. Forgive me, Lord. But the essence is that what happens is that Jesus basically went through them. What's the difference between him and Stephen? Maturity. Thank you, Pastor Dave. Maturity and the fullness of the Spirit without measure. Amen. The Spirit itself is a defense. But anyway, so they were incensed. Now, what did Stephen preach? The theme, first of all, of this entire sermon was to highlight Israel's serial rejection of its leaders. They had a history, right? And he used the Joseph, who was the first of the patriarchs, the first leader that God chose that the patriarchs rejected. And also used Moses, and then finally used the Lord Jesus Christ, whom they were rejecting at that material time. But the essence is that he was showing by the scripture, from the history of Israel, all the way from the beginning to the end, how Israel had this history of rejecting all their leaders. And he said, it's not the people. It was the leaders, the Sanhedrin, the so-called fathers. Hello, somebody. That were rejecting the leadership. And he says, if it is true that you are God's people and God sends you leaders, you should receive them. All the prophets are rejected. They stoned them. They killed them. That whole history is what he was highlighting here. Very strong words. Strong accusations. Of course, it produces a strong reaction. But the truth of the matter is that God reigns in the affairs of men. That's another thing we saw in this whole sermon. From beginning to end, with Abraham to the patriarchs and beyond, right up to now in Israel, even unto us in the church, God reigns. Everything God wanted to do, he was able to do, in spite of and despite the limitations of the men he was using. Amen. Folks, God is in control. His hand is there always, moving men. Even when you think nothing's happened, God is working. Amen. He's always, and he was faithful to Israel. And the same faithfulness that he has shown to natural Israel, and he showed to natural Israel up until this day, we'll talk about that on Wednesday, is the same faithfulness he's shown to his church today. His word will not return void. It will prosper. Whether it's natural Israel or spiritual Israel, whether it's you or me individually or the whole body of Christ, his word that has gone forth will not return void, but it shall prosper and accomplish that wherever he sends it unto. Just stay sweet. Like Barbara says. Okay, let's read now. So we see in Acts chapter 1 how Abraham, High Father, now made Abraham father of nations. We know the story. This is amazing. This is a man with no offspring. Now God calls him out, and by divine extrapolation, having given him one son, he now makes him a father of all nations. Bible says, if you are in Christ, if you are Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. So from nothing, from a totally pagan background, he never heard God before. He did nothing, knew nothing about God. From a totally pagan background, his wife was barren, the Bible tells us. God makes him a father of multitudes of billions. What does it say to us? This tells us that God is not in any way, folks. God is not limited by your physical circumstances. He's not limited by your birth. Whether you are born in Africa or born in America, it's irrelevant to God. Whether you are born rich or born poor, it doesn't matter to God. Anything, your background, your race, your education, or lack of it, amen, it doesn't matter to God. All that matters is, are you faithful? Are you working with him like Abraham? Now, Abraham also had problems. We all know. But God still brought him in, amen? Look at David. David was a shepherd boy. He became the greatest king of Israel. I took you from the sheepcote, from following after sheep, and I made you king over Israel, my people. And not only that, he made his son, a son born out of adultery and murder, the most wealthy, the wisest king on the face of it. He too messed up. But God did not allow all those background things to hinder what he wanted to do. He had his purpose, he had his mind, and he sought everything that he wanted to achieve in the life of David, in the life of Solomon. He brought it to pass. Now, the human agents may fail. And we do. Amen. But God will never fail. Give Lord a clap of it. You know, I know Abraham did not know where God was taking him when he came out of that place, Haran. In fact, he came out in disobedience. God said, come out to your father and mother's house. He waited until his father died. The only people, he now took Lot, his son. His nephew. When God said, leave him all behind. But what am I saying? God has a plan for every soul. Give me Jeremiah 29 verse 11. Hello, somebody. This should put us at rest. Nobody can hinder your purpose in God except you. It can't happen. No devil can stop you from the glory. The only person that can stop you is you. Amen? But you will not stop yourself in Jesus' name. What I'm saying is that, let's read this first. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord. This is God speaking to us, folks. Thoughts of. Hello, somebody. God wants you to be at peace and at rest. He's a God of peace too. We'll talk about that more later by the help of the Holy Spirit. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to do what? Give you unexpected end. Give me this in the Amplified. Let's see what it says. Hello, somebody. For I know the thoughts and plans. God has plans for you. Tell your neighbor, God has a plan for you. Amen. And he says, I know it. Thoughts and plans for welfare and peace, and not for evil, because God cannot be tempted with evil. Hello, somebody. God is planning assiduously your welfare, your well-being, so that you will fare well and be at peace. No wahala. To give you a hope in your final outcome. Hallelujah. And that hope will not be destroyed or diminished in Jesus' name. But this is the God we're dealing with. But it all depends on your attitude, your submission to God and His Word, and also, incidentally, submission to the spiritual oversight He has put over you, which is where the Israelite's problem was, that Stephen was highlighting. Amen? Your submission to God through His Word, and also to the spiritual oversight. And also, you know, like we pray every morning, or should pray every morning, also to the submission to what God tells you through the people who are at your level. Amen? But the essence is, the key to achieving all this is humbleness in the presence of God and in God's Word. Amen? Thank God for David. David is a prime example. He said, he had a testimony. He said, he had a heart after God that would do all of God's will. Amen? In Abraham's faith, it was faith. His heart of faith and obedience secured his eternal position as a father of all. Eternally, there's no other person that can be called the father of nations. And it's not by God anyway. You can give your name to whatever you like, but there's only one eternal father of many nations. Abraham. Why? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Give me Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to be there a little bit today. Hebrews 11 verse 8. Oh, thank you, Lord. I love that. God is watching out for my welfare. And He brings me to an expected end. So I'd like to stress, all I've got to find out what God says and follow after. Nobody can shake you. Nobody can take you off end except you get offended. By faith. I didn't hear you. By faith. Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, did what? When God calls, you say, here I am. That's what he did. So when he was called to go out to bring him into a place. God will call you out to bring you into a place. God will call you out to bring you into a place. Hello, somebody. Which you should receive for an inheritance. In other words, it was a question of inheritance. And that's what, folks, that's what he's doing to all of us. Every one of us has been called out. Where you were, who you were before, God says, come out. Leave your father's house. I'm getting ahead of myself. And then begin to obey to enter into the inheritance, the welfare God has set aside for you. What did Abraham do? Bible says he obeyed. But he went out. I love this. He went out not knowing where he went. That's amazing to me. Now, we know Abraham has difficulties. Yes. You know, like we say, he didn't leave his father until his father died. He took Lot with him. He had the issue with Hagar here. But guess what? God is merciful. God is patient. That is, he's patient, he's loving, he's kind. God knew Abraham had infirmities. Of course. There was sin inside him. And so God was patient and patient with him. And the same patience he exercised for Abraham and showed him patience and loving kindness and mercy, he will do exactly the same for us. He is doing the same for us. Do not take the patience of God in vain. But he will surely bring you in if you stay with it. Keep on obeying. Keep on following. So Abraham said he went out not knowing where he was going, only being led by the voice of an invisible God. Hello, someone. That is a paradox. And all of us here, if you're born again today, you have been there too. And then imagine what would have happened when he was in all of the Chaldees, in his hometown, his way, way back with his pagan fathers. They would have said, Abraham, you are packing your load. Where are you going? I don't know. You don't know where you're going.
All day, why are you going?
God, who? Who?
How did you? Okay, where is the God?
He's invisible. I can't see him. I just heard his voice. You heard his voice. And you are leaving everything behind. And you are packing your bags. And you are going somewhere you don't know anything about.
You don't know where you are going. How do you know you are going to get there?
Does that sound familiar to anybody here?
I tell you, I mean, we've all been there.
You say, where you go shop, where you go fish? That was the problem.
You want to be going, okay, all right. Okay, all right.
Then they come back and tell you, where you go? The people that have done it before you, they have not done well, though. Okay, all right, you want to go?
Then they ask, where you go?
It's impossible. I know people have done it. They have come to tell me that it's not possible. I saw someone told me that.
Says you can't do it. It's not possible. Nobody can be like that.
So what did you do? You shut those words out. And you said, regardless of what happens, I will still obey. And that's why you are here today. And that's why God has brought you along. Just like Abraham.
Saw nothing. They just... Hello, we even had more than he had. All he heard was a word and an invisible God.
But you still have the Bible. You can read it every day.
So we have no excuse. But thank God, God brought you out of whatever you were before. And he put you upon this path to an inheritance. And this is exactly what happened. As he began to walk with God, his faith began to grow. As he began to walk with God, he began to see God moving in his life. His faith began to grow. So much so, it grew to the point where he sojourned in a land where he was looking for a city that was built by God. The vision was so real. Am I getting across to somebody today? The vision was so real to him. He was looking for an actual building. But we know now by the Spirit that was a spiritual city that was yet to be built. The city of the living God. The church of God. Zion, really, not the church, not the whole church, but Zion. Amen. That's who you are, you and I are. So he's seeing that dream that he had being fulfilled before his very eyes. He's still alive, but God is not a God of the dead, he's a God of the living. Abraham is watching everything that's going on. Amen. In Zion, that church he was looking for. You see that in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9 says, he looked for a city, yes, thank you, Rainbow. He looked for a city which has foundations whose builder and maker is God. That city was not on the earth then. It was still in heaven. Oh, the heavenly Jerusalem. But now God has brought it down to earth. Hallelujah, somebody. Glory to God. Amen. So God calls us too. And it was just as God cannot tell us everything. Like he couldn't tell Abraham everything. God cannot tell you and I everything. Just says, follow me. Then he now gives you another step. Obey this. Do this. I remember, thank you. Thank God for the pastors of this, for the fathers of this house. Thank God for pastors. I remember all we knew in those days, Pastor Day, seven steps. That's what happened when I came. There was all preaching seven steps to effectual fervent prayers. Yeah, seven steps. Okay, all right. My first prayer in this church was 3 minutes long. Up until that time, I had never prayed before. Can you believe that? You're laughing. You are real warriors before you came on. Look at them, they're laughing at you. I couldn't pray. That's the truth. It's the truth. When they say pray, I just be looking like this. I said, God, thank you. Of course, we knew all the other prayers, you know, the headache prayers, you know. Oh Lord, bless his food in Jesus' name. We didn't know you did for Christ's sake. Oh Lord, bless his food for Christ's sake. That's what we knew. That was the Philippians of my prayer. But to make a form a prayer and speak to God, I could not do it until I came to this church. And it was then, I said, these are human beings. You know, people are telling you can't do it. But I will come and I'll see pastor, I'll see mommy, I'll see, I said, these are human beings. They're not different from me. If they can't do it, can I not do it? So it was more of a challenge. It was like, you know, me too. I too can't do it. I will do it. And that's how it began. You know, God has a way he gets everybody. That was his own hook for me. I won't tell you what the other hook was. Some people know they're laughing. The other hook was, this is a goodly ground. Hallelujah.
Anyway.
Amen. So God stayed faithful to Abraham. And the integrity. Abraham trusted in God and the integrity of God's word. This was not a Jehovah Shapshapu. Yes! 25 long years! But the Bible said, oh, give me Romans 4:18. I love this here. We're building up something, alright? Just to show you how God is so faithful. It says, look at Abraham. This was not where he began. This was not where he started. This is where he ended before the promise came. And you will get there too. He says, who against hope? Let's read it together. Who against hope? Believed in hope. How can you believe in hope against hope? There was nothing to see. That says his body was dead. Sarah's body was dead. Physical evidence, zero. But the word of the Lord was true. The word of the Lord was fast, steadfast and sure. He says, who against hope, believed in hope, that he might become, at this point he hadn't become yet. He said, might become the father of many nations. Now, how? According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. You become the manifestation of God's glory in Christ Jesus because that word has gone forth. It has been spoken. It will not return void. Regardless of the circumstances of your physical limitations now, it is God that worketh in you to will and then to do of his good pleasure. It's not by might, not by power, but by the fullness of the Spirit without measure. Thank you. I like this one. Thank you, Primo. When everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway. Oh, give the Lord a shout, somebody. Oh! So when everything was hopeless, Abraham believed anyway, decided to live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but upon what God said he would do. Give the Lord a shout. This should be our mandate. This is our manifesto. We will not believe because based on what we can see and what we cannot do, but what God said we will do. So we will manifest the glory. We will declare the manifold wisdom of God to principalities and powers. We will walk in the fullness of the Spirit without measure. In the name of Jesus. It doesn't matter what your limitations are, God is greater. Hello, someone. Yeah, they might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Next verse. It's not, there's more. Hallelujah, somebody. And be not weak in faith. Hello. He started weak in faith. But over time, walking with God, seeing the God that is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted about what you are able, seeing the patience of God, the goodness of God, he got to a point where he's no more weak in faith, no more considering his own body now was his body. Yes! But that didn't faze him anymore. Oh, Lord. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Next verse. I love it. He staggered not. In other words, he stood by him. No shaking. Thank you. No shifting, no shaking. Solid ground. Solid ground of the word. There's no other ground. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. And even before he came, he was giving glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Giving glory to God. Next verse. Oh, I love this. And being fully, these are degrees of faith. And we have to go through each one to obtain the inheritance. Being fully persuaded. Are you fully persuaded? Do you believe the word that God has said? That in you, he's going to manifest his glory and his power. That in you, men will see him. That's a serious statement. He said, be fully persuaded. What he has promised was able also to perform. Next verse. Next verse. And therefore, the Peter improvises. But the essence is this, that he got to a point where he was so built up, strong in faith. And Sarah too, same thing. As he was doing, Sarah was following after. Ladies, Sarahs, follow your Abraham's home. He says, Sarah too, says, by faith, Sarah received strength to conceive. And he was delivered of a child when she was past age. With God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. And we then see the apogee of that faith in Genesis 22, where he offered up this same son. Oh boy, God is taking us on a journey. And he's taking us to a point where we are going to lay down our Isaac. Everything. Nothing else matters except what he says. At his word you move, at his word you stand. At his word you lay down your lives, at his word you take it up again. What did God say? That's all. Genesis 22. Oh, glory to God. Give me let's start from verse 1. Let's quickly read verse 1. Yeah, this is it. Okay. Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac. He had another son over here, I'm reckoning. Whom thou lovest, and get into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. In fact, he didn't even know where he was going again. But now he was so used to following God's instruction, just went anyway. When you get there, you tell me, I don't know. Oh God, I can't read all this. Okay, let's read it. We're going to close with this, help me Lord. Next verse. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, sadly, as took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for burnt offering, rose up, went to the place which God had told him. Next verse. On the third day, lift up your eyes, O ye great. The third day, he said, Abraham lifted up his eyes. He says, lift up your eyes, for redemption draweth near. When you see these things begin to come to pass, know for a certainty your redemption is near. On that third day, he who lifted up his eyes on the third day saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to young men, abide here with the ass. I and the lad will go together worship and come again to you. I mean, this is faith, folks. That's what the Bible calls him, the father of faith. You don't get any better than this. Next verse. And Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, took the fire in his hand and a knife, and both of them went together. Next verse. And Isaac spake to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, yeah, my God, thank God for children who are obedient and submitted. That's why the blessing passed to him. Look what he says. He says, my father, behold the fire, the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? He didn't tell him, you are the lamb. He said, God will provide himself a lamb. And so God did. And they both went, we all know the story. But the essence is, you know, he got to this point, and because of his obedience, because he did not stagger the promise of God, because he had already received the guy back, the Bible says, as though said, if God is going to use this guy, oh, he wrote me. He had considered the pros and cons. This God, he doesn't lie. This God, God took me out from where I was a nobody. I was a pagan worshiper. He's brought me to this land. He's promised me he's going to give it to me through my seed. Ergo, if he kills this guy, if I kill him for him, because he's the one that said I should do it though. If I do it for him, he's going to bring him back. Because he cannot go against his word. Do we know God like that? Do we have a relationship with God like that? I'm speaking to you and myself too. When God has said it's done. Not God, you said, but I don't know. Or but I'm not sure. Or your oversight tells you this is the way walking is. You say, well, okay, thank you, sir. I will go and pray about it. Hello, nobody has ever said that before. Of course, you won't say it out. You say, we'll go and pray about it. God will give us an answer of peace. God has already given you an answer of peace. Hello, somebody. Hey, we're getting on some cases here today. But the essence is this. Now, look, give me verse 16 quickly. I'll begin to close. Verse 16. Now, this is after he had offered Isaac and Lord had raised him up. Said, now, look what it says. It says, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thy son, thy only son, referring to his only son who was about to come, next verse, that, folks, it doesn't get any better. He said, in blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven. And as a sign which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies. Next verse. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Hello, seeds that will bless all the nations of the earth. That's you and I. We're saying on Wednesday, that seed is not natural Israel. Thank God for what they've done. We saw on Wednesday that natural Israel has been a great blessing to the nations. Tremendous inventions, tremendous. And that's the spirit, that's without the spirit at all. Isn't God marvelous? I was telling you, I said, that's 34. That's just wood, clay, wood here and earth. What is silver and gold and precious stones going to do? It's going to be amazing. You have the seed. The seed, but the promise was to the seed, not to seeds as of many, but to the seed. And anybody like the seed. That's what the promise is to. And in thy seed shall all the nations bless. Why? It says, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Hello? Because of his covenant. He obeyed the voice of the Lord. And he got everything. Hello? Obedience. Obedience. Faith and obedience. Those are the keys. And then, so all the blessings of the covenant then passed unto Isaac after Abraham's death. Not because of Isaac. Although Isaac was a worthy receptacle, because as we saw, he was submitted to his father. But he was, the blessing passed unto Isaac after Abraham's death because of his father's faith and his father's obedience to God. And God let Isaac know. Give me Genesis 26 quickly. Oh, Lord have mercy. Folks, God is a God. He says, if I be a father, where is my honor? If you honor your fathers, God will honor you. If you honor your father, God will reward you. If you honor your father, the blessing of your fathers will accrue to you. God will make see to it that it downloads to you. You don't have to do anything. Just honor them. Just submit to them. Look what it says. It says, verse 26, verse 3, I think. Give me verse 3. 26, Genesis 26 verse. Yes. Okay, so join in this land, I'll be with thee, I will bless thee, and for unto thee, and unto thy seed, after thee. This is not Abraham, this is Isaac now. Amen. So join in this land, I'll be with thee, I will bless thee, for unto thee, and unto thy seed. The same promise he gave to Abraham. Will I give all these countries, and I will perform the oath, which I swear unto Abraham, thy father. In other words, is your father that has allowed all this to come to you because of his obedience to me and because of his covenant with me. Next verse. Now this verse. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I'll give unto thy seed all these countries, and in thy seed shall all. Hello? The same promise. But Abraham was dead now. Amen? Give me verse 5. Why? Why? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice, kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. This is the basis of sons being blessed in their fathers. Not because of you. You will do your own. Only one person is clapping. You're going to do your own. But you are blessed because of your father's sake. I am blessed because of my father's sake. And I'm not talking natural only. This is a spiritual blessing. Proverbs 13:20 says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. Folks, we got to take God seriously. He says, if I be a father, where is my honor? Folks, give your father's honor and God will honor you back because he's a father too. And I'm just saying, this is scripture. This is what Stephen was preaching and this is what the Lord showed me. All the blessings passed from Abraham to Isaac, and then from Jacob. We'll get to Jacob now, we can't go there. But the essence is that, the same process happened, passed from Isaac to Jacob. Not because of Jacob. Jacob was a supplanter. Esau was a profane person. Look, But God had to break Jacob. Eventually, he inherited the promises. But Jacob was not blessed because of Jacob. Jacob was blessed because of his father, Abraham, and his father, Isaac, who obeyed the voice of the Lord in their time. So he got just received the blessing. We are blessed in his house.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor you are blessed.
Amen.
Because we have a father in this house who has obeyed, is obeying, and continues to obey God. To hear his voice and to do all of his will. That's why you and I are blessed. That's what the Bible tells me. And the word of God is true. It cannot lie. Folks, where we are going, we're not going to get there without fathers. The Bible says, if I be a father, where is my honor? So we see that. Let's just close. What do we say? Faith and obedience to God's word and his revealed will are the keys that Abraham used to tap into the promise that God gave him. Every one of us has a promise from God. If you don't have, look into the Bible, go to the promise of Abraham. In thee and in thy seed shall all the earth be blessed. So yeah, that's a promise to you. Amen? Key into it by faith. Follow after the word of God. Follow after the example of your fathers, spiritual fathers now. Amen? Follow their example, because it's their example that you follow that will cause the downloading. When it comes, no one will come on you directly. It will come to us through the Father. That's why the book of Shakara, let me finish. The Bible says in Isaiah 15, says, look unto Abraham and Sarah, the rock from whence you are hewn. Says why? Verse 3 says, for, give me that. Let's finish there. Isaiah 51, 1. Hello, somebody. I didn't know it was going to end with fathers. But maybe God is bringing out a point. Look unto Abraham, your father. And unto Sarah that bare you, for I called him alone, him there being two. And I blessed him and increased him. Next verse, I think it's verse 3. Yes, says for the Lord, which means the reason why you should look is because the comfort is about to comfort, is comforting Zion. And the Lord shall comfort Zion, will comfort all her waste places, and make her wilderness like Eden, her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness shall be found therein. Thanksgiving and the voice of melody. So look to Abraham and Sarah, your father and your mother, the rock from whence you were hewn, and she that bare you, and all the blessings of the age that God had reserved for this particular dispensation, through them will come upon us. The Bible says the anointing is upon the head, flows down from the beard, and flows to the hems of his garments. Every one member will receive a blessing because you honor the father and the mother God has blessed over you. And tap into the blessings of God. Amen. We'll continue from here. We're talking about Abraham, how he entered into the fullness of his promise. We'll continue next week. Lord will help us. I trust we all got something out of this today. Lord will have mercy on us. Amen. Oh. What a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful privilege to be partakers of these things. I didn't get there today, but the Bible says, leave your father's house. That's not your spiritual father's house. But the natural house where you came from, where you were physically born. Many times God requires, Psalms 45 says, leave your father's house, so shall God delight in you. Greatly desire thy beauty. That beauty there being the beauty of holiness. But the essence we come to say, God is faithful. Tell your neighbor, God is faithful. His word will never return void. By faith, by obedience, we will tap into all these wonderful blessings that God has for us. Just the same way Abraham and the children of Israel did, in spite of and despite themselves, because of the faithfulness of God. We see God moving on their behalf. The life of Abraham, passing from Abraham to Isaac, from Isaac to Jacob, because of the word of the Lord. Faith and trust in God. Bring it to an expected. I trust in you. My faithful God, how perfect is your love. You answer.
Raise a hand up unto the Lord. Another hand up in our hearts. And let's repeat these words out to me as we respond to what the Lord has spoken to us this morning. Say, Heavenly Father, I confess our sins and so clean with the blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy as we pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word this morning, coming to remind me and to put me in remembrance of your faithfulness, your ever-loving, everlasting faithfulness to your word and to your people. Thank you for showing me from the example of how you led Abraham out of paganism and you brought him into his inheritance in the land of promise. I understand, like you were faithful to Abraham and all the patriarchs of Israel, Isaac and Jacob, even up until now, in spite of all the mistakes and all their shortcomings, you will also be faithful to me. You will also be faithful to your church, spiritual Israel, in this day. I thank you for this understanding. So I choose to believe you and trust you for mercy, that your word that has been spoken to me and concerning me in this day of the release of the fullness of the Spirit without measure, it will not return void. Yes, it will accomplish in me and through me as I obey, as I humble myself like Abraham, walking with you in faith. It will surely bring forth that wherein you have spoken concerning me in the name of Jesus. I ask for mercy to be faithful, to like Abraham, grow in faith and stand strong, Lord, believing your word regardless of physical circumstances, so you will complete your work in me and through me in this day by the blood, by the word, and by the Spirit. So I will apprehend all for which you have apprehended me in Christ Jesus, in the name of Jesus. I understand, Lord, this blessing comes upon me, not for my sake alone, but because of my fathers who have chosen to hear your word and to obey the same. Help me, Father, to be a faithful doer of the word like them. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray in tongues. Father, may this decision. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because faithful art thou who has promised, who will do exceeding abundantly above all we can imagine. In Jesus' name. And the people say, amen.